Good afternoon and welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter, filling in for Al Cresta. We don't often stop to think about it, but our faith in Jesus Christ is an extremely unique expression of faith. And what I mean by that is this. There's no other faith in the entirety of human history that demands that its followers become intimately one with its founder. Any other religion professes a certain way of life to be followed. And to be sure, Jesus Christ established that as well. But Jesus was infinitely more than just a moral teacher. Through unanimous statement of all of the great thinkers throughout history who have known about Jesus Christ, we know with certitude that the greatest figure who ever lived in modern history, and I mean that from the first century, year 1 AD and following, is Jesus Christ. And he demands such an exclusive fidelity to him as a person, such an exclusive commitment to loving him, that he also demands the entirety of our lives. In fact, the whole Christian message demands that you and I surrender ourselves to our Lord in response to the fact that he has poured out his whole life for us. We think about Paul, the apostle, after his own baptism. In Acts chapter 9, verse 28, he goes and spends time with the other apostles, that he may learn about Jesus. But we are told in the book of Acts, during this time, that Paul moved about freely with them in Jerusalem and spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. This should give us reason to pause and think. And the reason why is simple. How could a man who at one point was breathing murderous threats against Christians and arguably against Christ now commit his whole life to Christ? Well, the reason for it is simple. Encountering Christ in our life results in a drastic response of the soul. Essentially, the soul who encounters Jesus Christ can choose to either ignore that encounter and walk away from him, or the soul cannot help but surrender his whole life to Jesus Christ. The one thing an encounter with Jesus Christ will not result in is a life of indifference and tepidity. And the early Christians understood this well. In fact, we see so many accounts of them running into martyrdom. Because much like Paul and the other apostles, upon hearing the wondrous saving gospel of Jesus Christ, they echoed the words of David in the Psalms. In Psalm 22, verse 31, we see that David says, like the early Christians, in fact, "I will live for the Lord. My descendants will serve you." You and I ought not to take this for granted. In fact, this is the exhortation for us today. It is so easy for us to think that just because we live in a post-Christian era, that we have religious freedom and therefore Christianity is one faith to be professed amongst many. When in fact, if you and I were to do the homework, if you and I were to honestly, logically engage in the investigation, we would discover that not only is Jesus Christ and his revelation the fullness of revealed truth, the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church is the guardian of that great deposit. And we cannot for a moment take that for granted. The greatest gift you and I can give to someone else is to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus alone infinitely loves them. And more than that, he alone can give their lives full truth and meaning. This is why family members who've encountered Jesus have such a powerful effect of conversion on their other family members. We see this especially when parents encounter Jesus and introduce him to their children. When we introduce someone to Jesus, Christ then looks at that person and says to them, with all the love in his sacred heart, "Give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you." Now, C.S. Lewis echoes those words in Mere Christianity when talking about the demands of Christianity. Jesus resoundingly repeats those words to you and me every single day as we continue to encounter him in prayer, in his word, and in receiving him in the Holy Eucharist. Give me all. I want you. There's often an interior fear for all of us, due to our fallen nature, that when we surrender to God, we will lose out on the very things in life that we believe make our lives good. Yet, even we can acknowledge that nothing we have ever received in this life ever fully satisfies. It can be pleasurable for a time, to be sure, but that emptiness in our soul reveals itself time and time again through the pleasure, breaking through any euphoria we have. See, our hearts are crying out for the only thing that will satisfy, the love of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 tells us that God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Book 1, chapter 1 of the Confessions of St. Augustine echo the words of St. Augustine when he says, "Our hearts are made like unto you, O Lord, and our souls are restless until they rest in you." And so our deepest desires are known by God, and he wants to fulfill them, but he knows that they can only be fulfilled in him. He knows that he alone can be the fulfillment of all of our desires. And so I encourage you to take a look at the greatest and most grandiose desires that you might possibly have. And know this, that when these are purified in the fiery love of God, what you and I will discover is that at the end of it all, we are really hungering and thirsting for the love of our Father to be poured into our hearts by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because of this, God alone is the satiation for our soul's hunger. He alone is the relief for our soul's thirst. And he is the healing for our soul's brokenness. We live through life longing for wholeness within our souls. And God comes to us as a good father. Christ comes to us as a divine physician. The Holy Spirit comes to us as the love poured forth from the heart of the Father and the Son. And they are the source of our healing. They are the source of our wholeness. They are the source of our identity. And they invite us time and time again, echoing the words of Jesus in John 15, verse 5, "Remain in me as I remain in you." Saint Benedict of Nursia, when he was really young, he learned this. And he wrote this into the rule of life that he laid out for all of his brothers. Essentially, he understood that if Christ is our all in all, then nothing else will shake us. So Saint Benedict would compel his brothers by saying, "Let them put Christ above all else, and may he lead us all to everlasting life." Saint Benedict knew that this was the only way for us to experience true foretastes of the sweetness of everlasting life while we are here on earth. And make no mistake about it, your Father wants you to taste heavenly life while you are here on earth. He wants you to experience these windows into eternal happiness. And we experience this in no greater way than in the sacred liturgy where we receive our Lord and Savior into our bodies and beings. So if you and I call ourselves Christian, if we profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, if we call ourselves baptized, covenanted members of the family of God the Father, then every aspect of our life must reflect this. And I mean every aspect. We walk around stamped with the identity of being children of the Father. And so our lives, our words, our actions, our conduct become signs of witnessing to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love of the Father. Because of this, we need to understand Christ desires to redeem and sanctify our whole lives, every aspect of it. He wants to bear fruit in the entirety of our lives. In John 15, verse 8, he says that, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Why? Because this alone is how we live out lives filled with the love of God poured into our hearts. This is the only true reflection of a happy life here on earth. Nothing else will compare. Everything else is a mimicry of happiness, a counterfeit of happiness, and it will leave us hungry and wanting more. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this week, as we contemplate on not only this weekend's readings, but also the gospel message, the challenge for us is to ask ourselves, first of all, what are the areas in our life that we still haven't yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Whether it be the way we think, the things we read and consume, whether it be the way we speak, the relationships we have, the friendships we have built, whether it be the way we conduct ourselves in our work, whether it be the way we are in our families or our family prayer life, whatever it might be, Christ wants all of those areas of our life. He wants to not only take control, but to bring us happiness and healing in those areas. So I invite you to pray that the Holy Spirit will break down all the walls of our lives. Let's pray for the grace to be willing to say, Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to be my all in all. I want you to take over my entire life. And then from there, living faith in Jesus Christ means boldly accepting that I have to now tell people about the love of Christ. If Jesus comes into our life right now and pours his whole life into us, it is because he now commissions us to go forth, as in Matthew 28:19, to proclaim and to teach all that he has commanded us. And we have his assurance, lo, he is with us all, always, to the end of the age. So remember, my brothers and sisters, that Christ wants to be our all in all, and he should be our all in all, or he might as well be nothing at all. Because the one thing we cannot be in the Christian life is lukewarm. Lord, save us from a lukewarm faith. Let us be set on fire for the love of Jesus Christ and the salvation of souls. Stay tuned for the next two segments as we talk about the life of Saint Joseph as seen in the lives of the mystics. I'm Marcus Peter, filling in for Al Cresta on Cresta in the Afternoon.